Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Greetings to all of you, especially to John and his wife, Danielle. Our text for this Trinity Sunday, as well as the sending of Jonathan from our congregation to become a pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church and School of Fort Dodge, Iowa, is Matthew 28. Here again. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the very end of the age." You may be seated. John, you are the fifth son of this congregation to be sent out into the world to be a pastor, along with the eight other commissioned workers that have gone from us as well. What an honor to be blessed, that St. Andrew has been blessed to be a blessing for the whole church, and now to be able to send you and Danielle to Fort Dodge. It is a good time for all of us to be reminded of the promise and the command of the Holy Ministry, as well as its auxiliary offices. And so this morning I have gone ahead and divided our text into four different parts. First, the purpose, the why, which sounds like the purpose, but it's different. And third, the promise, and for whom this ministry is. First, the promise. In Matthew 28, our Lord instituted the holy ministry along with John chapter 20 as two places that we find his instituting. From these passages, along with other places in Scripture, we confess in the Book of Concord, in Article 5, to obtain such faith, God has instituted this office of preaching, giving the gospel and the sacrament. Through these, as though through means, he gives us the Holy Spirit, who produces faith, where and when he wills, to those who hear the gospel. It teaches us that we have a gracious God, not through our own merit, but through Christ's merit. Let me repeat that one part again. To obtain such faith, God has instituted the office of preaching. That's the purpose of the office, to obtain such faith. Those words reflect the command to make disciples. The main verb of the sentence is to make disciples. It is not the goal, as so many make this passage out to be. The word that we translate as go is only a participle. Now, that might not mean much to you, but what that does mean, it places the word go in a secondary place, as not as important. Too often the goal is emphasized to beat the congregation out of complacency, shove them out of their pews into the world so that they can gather more people to sit in the pew. Pastors are frustrated and eventually leave. Members feel beat up and never want to hear the word evangelism again as they lick their spiritual wounds. But the original Greek fits very well, as we heard this morning, with Genesis chapter 1, as well as Genesis chapter 2 and the whole of Scripture. In Genesis 1, God commanded our first parents to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And then in Genesis chapter 2, he put them in a particular place, in the garden. The purpose of life is not just to have kids, even though he said, be fruitful and multiply, but it is to produce godly offspring where God has placed them. A basic translation of the word go is when you go or after you go, make disciples. The command to make disciples is not on the going, And so, John, when you go to Fort Dodge, Danielle, make disciples. This making of disciples doesn't just belong to the pastor, but to the whole church. And so the whole church is to be built up. So if any of you from St. Andrew, such as our graduates that we heard about last Sunday, move to another community and join another church, go and make disciples. If you end up going to North Dakota State School of Science, go make disciples. If you go to NDSU, go and make disciples. If you go into the military, make disciples. If you're going to get married and have children, make disciples, especially of your children. That is your Garden of Eden that you are to care for, just as Adam and Eve were to care for the Garden of Eden. That's where God has placed you. Again, the making of disciples doesn't just belong to pastors, but pastors are the concrete form, the public form of this ministry in the church so that people obtain such faith. In other words, the pastor's job is to keep on making disciples even if people doubt, even if none of the members want to be a part of evangelism or even refuse to make disciples. Now that would be an extreme case, wouldn't it? Just left up to the pastors. But it is a part of the office into which you are going to be placed and provided for, as well as the scriptures say, the worker deserves his wages in 2 Timothy 4:5. But excuse me, in 2 Timothy 4:5, it also says, as for you, be sober, enduring suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. You, as one of the pastors, are the public face of the ministry to comfort and to strengthen God's people, again, in order that they may obtain such faith. Again, we confess in the Book of Concord, Article 14, concerning church government, it is taught that no one should publicly teach, preach, or administer to the sacraments without a proper, that is, a public call. There are specific things that you as a pastor are to do publicly on behalf of the congregation as Christ's under-shepherd. Publicly teaching, preaching, administering the sacraments won't be the only thing you do. But they are the things that you are required in this office into which you are to be placed. Sometimes you'll end up taking out the garbage. Sometimes you'll end up shoveling the snow or even running the bulletins because for some reason nobody else is there, nobody else showed up, and you are left with the job. However, these things should never be left up to you, but are to be done together as the body of Christ, each fulfilling their various gift that God has given to them. But you are to focus on the word and prayer. Sometimes the members will go ahead and ignore your ministry of the word and sacrament, and you'll have to go find them and teach them and again make them disciples. It's always, though, to obtain such faith. To obtain such faith in Christ without any merit in themselves, but to rest solely in Christ. That is Christ for their salvation. In other words, there's always going to be work to be done. For our text says, some doubted. Matthew 28 supports what I have said. And as you read, it was the 11. Now, if you notice on the back of your bulletin in Matthew 28, you'll notice that the 11 are not called the apostles, as if they are a higher class, but they are the 11 disciples. They are first and foremost, just as if John and Pastor Harville and myself, we are first and foremost disciples of our Lord Jesus. On the other hand, it doesn't say all disciples. It says the 11. These 11 are from the midst of the disciples and are commanded by our Lord to go and make disciples when they go. Leave that for a moment and focus now on the why. There are those who doubt the need or the true need of pastors. Some people come up with all sorts of reasons that we should have one. Some will say, you know what, we need someone to lead us. Well, you don't need two for that, you just need one. Or someone has to do it. Some have concluded, well, it doesn't make any difference. They could be male, they could be female, they could be whatever. Just the person has the skills. And so human reason leads us to go ahead and accept all kinds of ways of that are not the Lord's. But here, what is it that our text says? The answer is really simple. The Lord said so. For he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And he also said, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And so it doesn't matter if people doubt. The Lord said so. So I come to the third. We've talked about the purpose to obtain such faith. We've talked about the why, because Jesus said so. And next we have the promise. For with the holy ministry there belongs to the congregation, and which the pastor exercises publicly, also has a promise, and behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. I want to emphasize that promise, because even though the disciples worshipped the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord Jesus, our text says some doubted. It's a reminder that not every member of the congregation believes as the Lord would have them believe. There's work to do, even among the faithful. The ministry is there to strengthen, not just to get people in the doors. But the pastor only has one authority, and that is the word. Some doubt, some won't listen. Others will even try to thwart the very work that you have to do by other means. Some will try to make the distinction between the physical and the spiritual, which is good, generally speaking, but they go hand in hand, where the physical is to support the word, just as we do here today. We could be outside, but it doesn't work very good in December, does it? And so we build buildings. We put heat in them. In the summer, we put air conditioning in them. Why? So that we can hear the word and not be distracted by other things. But others will go ahead and try to even use the budget to make your work difficult. It is important for a congregation always to remember that it is pastors and people working together as one body. It is Christ's office that you fill. It is Christ's office that the congregation supports. This office exists in order, again, to obtain such faith. No matter how difficult it is, Jesus will always be with you. He has promised it. For where his word is, there he is as well. And that word is to be your joy. We have spoken of the purpose. We have spoken of the why. We have spoken of the promise that he is with us. And finally, we come for whom this ministry is. Our text speaks of baptism. The sacrament, again, of baptism belongs to the congregation under the office of the holy ministry. It is done by the pastor because that's what he's been given to do. In good order, as 1 Corinthians chapter 14:40 says. But the main thing, again, is the making of disciples. And how do you do it? You baptize and you teach. The question is always, who is to be made a disciple? And the answer again is simple. In the text it says, all nations. It doesn't matter what country you come from. It doesn't matter what kind of background you come from, what kind of color of skin that you might have, even if you would come from Iowa. Make them disciples. The Gospel of Matthew is the most Jewish gospel there is. The most Jewish book, I should say. It ends with all nations. Now, a Jew would understand when they would hear the word nation, not Jew. It should cause a Jewish person to ask, what about me? Am I not included? Again, the answer is in the all. Jesus is for you, even if you are a Jew. By the coming of Jesus, God declared all nations Gentile. That is unclean. Those are sinners separated from God and not his people, including the Jews. For Jesus is the only one who fulfilled what Adam and Eve heard in the garden when God spoke to the serpent that there would be one that would crush Satan's head. He is the only one to fulfill the covenant given to Abraham and to David. Jesus is the promised one. In him, all the nations are blessed. In Jesus, by his death and resurrection, all are declared his people. As we read in John 3:16, and through baptism, God places his name on us. He puts his reputation on us. But some doubt. And even walk away. But the promise is that God will have for himself a people. John, you are sent this day, committed to the truth of his word, the gospel, even if some doubt. You are to serve God's people where you are sent, and you are to continue to make disciples wherever you are. In the Lord's name, amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
For information about our congregation, for service times and schedule, please visit our website at www.standrewlcms.org. Thank you for listening to Sermons Preached at St. Andrew Lutheran Church in West Fargo, North Dakota, a member of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.